Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Hello, Southern California. Hello, Orange County. We are back with another episode of The Rad Life. It's Wednesday, 12 o'clock. What else would we be doing? Here we are with Mr. Paul Roberts.
This looks like the arts and crafts department here today. Yeah,
we will do everything, right? We will do everything.
Shameless.
You know, actually, it just occurred to me. I think we should probably, you know, Evan, let's talk about how we get this product in the senior centers. Okay, because they do a lot of arts and crafts, right, Paul?
What the hell?
I'm just trying to connect it with what we usually talk about, right?
What the hell have you got here?
So, not only am I thrilled to have this guy on the show, right? And I'll tell you in a while, you'll find out why over the course of the show today, but I've been trying to get him on for 6 months, probably.
It doesn't feel that long, but man, time flies.
Is that time flies?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because he's been busy. He's been kind of busy.
He was on...
You know, leaving his mark.
And how long am I allowed to use the new baby excuse? How long does that last for?
18 month. Years, I think. I don't know. Kathy, why don't you call and tell us how long have you used the excuse with Evan, funny. Eric, and Alec. But no, seriously, guys, this is not only... I'm really thrilled to have Evan on the show. I've known Evan... from not exactly when he was yay high, but a little higher.
Yeah, at least I've known you at least like 15 years.
15 years at least.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't be happier for the successes he's had and kind of watching him do this. And this is just mind-blowing. Seriously, I mean.
What is it?
Okay. Well, Evan, Mr. Evan Van Auken here. Thanks, Evan, for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Okay.
It's nice.
Evan has come up with this thing. This thing that's disrupting the arts and crafts industry. It is disrupting woodworking, I think. And he's probably just scratched the surface of how it can be used, honestly. And I think it's been a success already. He's been doing it for about a year. We'll find out about how he got to do this, et cetera. But before we do, Evan, why don't you introduce yourself? You know, tell people what you do. And then let's move right into how the heck you came up with this thing. And it's basically Scorch Marker, okay? And for people who are listening and want to check out what this is, scorchmarker.com,
yep,
right, is the website. I think it's brilliant. So kudos, man, seriously.
Thanks.
Couldn't be prouder, really.
I appreciate that.
Okay, So
summarize it just before you launch it. You always want to tell the story, and then we're all still figuring out what is
Yes, that's the whole thing. I build it up, and then I take it back, and then we rebuild it. Okay, you haven't figured this out after four and a half years?
I haven't figured it out. I want to know what it is.
I want to know. You want one of these, Paul? Do you want one? Okay. Maybe we'll give you one for the end of the show. But tell people a little bit about you.
Sure.
And, because I think it's relevant. Like, I connected the dots, you know, from when I first met you, and you know, you had certain artistic tendencies, and then that's not what you pursued as a career. You went down a different path, you know, kind of followed in your father's footsteps, and how the two roads kind of converge on this is actually wonderful.
Right.
So take it away.
Being 30 years old now, we met, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
I was still in high school.
You were in high
school. And I was doing a lot of art. I really was.
You were.
Yeah.
I actually have some of yours.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You were one of the people who really helped me, you know, really understand what I was doing and how to show people what I was doing.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah,
you know.
No, but you were talented. I mean, I remember you had to been like, maybe were you sophomore? No, you were junior or senior, maybe.
Maybe younger.
Even younger.
Yeah, maybe even younger.
And I remember, I mean, you had skulls.
Yeah, I was doing all kinds of
lizards.
Stuff. I was so edgy at the time.
You were edgy. You were cutting edge.
But I look back at some of that stuff now as an adult. Oh my, what was I thinking? But you know, it was a good learning experience. I got to really get my feet wet in a lot of different mediums, and different art styles, and that all started with the art programs in middle school.
Right.
When I went to Shorecliffs, I got to play with different things, and Yeah, we got really interested.
So for those who don't know where Short Cliffs is, San Clemente born and raised?
Yeah.
Evan's born San Clemente born and raised, so shout out to San Clemente. And Short Cliffs, and then you went to San Clemente High, right?
I did, yeah.
Who, just to give credit for some of the people, who do you remember being instrumental sort of in your art journey? Did you have anybody that you recall, like whether it was teachers or something that kind of played a role?
You know what's funny is I hadn't really thought about given much thought to that part of my life until today when I knew I was going to be discussing it with you. And it goes all the way back to when I first started school. There was just this little snippet of a memory that I had.
Take me back.
I was in kindergarten, and somehow I was trying to draw some cool Lion King thing for this little project. You know, I prided myself on how well I could draw. You know, maybe it was a false insecurity. I don't know. But I remember this other girl named Brooke in my kindergarten class. Oh, my gosh, you blew me out of the water.
In kindergarten.
Oh, my God, in kindergarten. And I was like, whew, I got a lot to learn. And so then I really was like, there's a next level. I realized there was a next level. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I want to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. I want to be the guy who can create and make anything. And that's kind of what started me on the journey.
Right.
You know, and then just dabbling in art here and there all throughout school and having access to the materials, the expertise and the mediums. And I was like, well, you can make art out of anything.
Right.
Doesn't have to be paper and pencil.
Right. You weren't really limited to a particular medium. Uh-huh. And a shout out to that program. I know with Rick Delante and San Clemente High School, they have a really good mentorship program.
They
for art talent.
They do. Teachers like Andrea Reich, they pushed me, you know. Yeah. They pushed me to do things I was uncomfortable with and submitting my artwork to art shows and things like that.
Right.
And I didn't realize that I was good enough. No one ever feels like they're good enough.
Right.
Until they're, you know, that door is opened up by someone else oftentimes. And then they're like, hey, you are good enough. You can do it. And
right. If I remember correctly, didn't you exhibit at the CASA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had four or five art pieces there, and that was really cool.
Yeah, I remember nice. Going to that exhibit with your mom. Actually, it was pretty cool. Yeah,
it
I hadn't thought about that either for years. It just came to me.
It's old memories.
Yeah. That's cool. It's good. It's good memories. I remember telling you. I don't know if you remember. You know, you gotta like this is good, man. You just stick with this. Remember, I was like, you know, you're right. And you were going through different things, and you're kind of exploring different things, and what were you going through? But you didn't necessarily pursue it.
No,
like it's like no, okay, I'm gonna go a different path. I don't know. It's like you know, time to grow up. Whatever it was.
There's not a real tangible pathway from being good at artwork and then taking that into a career path as you know, from high school on. It's hard.
Well, it's a hard
niche.
I had Rick Delante, who was a teacher at San Clemente High School. Anybody who knows San Clemente High School and art program knows Rick. And then Tom Swim, who is a artist down in Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
I had them both on the show here early on, like about probably the first year we were on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because Rick had come to it through the path of teaching. Like he started off teaching swimming, and then all of a sudden he was in the school system and he's teaching art and stuff like that. And he's a brilliant artist. And then Tom Swim came at it from Madison Avenue and basically doing commercial art, and then basically one day saying to his wife, okay, I just want to be a fine artist. And she's like, oh my God, our world has just changed. You know, the bank account has just drained and there's no sustainable living and all this stuff. And he makes really nice art and his pieces sell very well, but you know, he's just got a little studio in Laguna Canyon, mm-hmm. right? Shout out to Tom and shout out to Rick. Anytime you guys want to come back, do come back. But it is tough. And I don't know that anybody really understands. Like, it's one of those things where you have to do it. It's like if you're pursuing a creative field mm-hmm. as a path, A, it's tough. You have to be resilient. You really have to believe in your abilities. And it's always being tested, like you were saying.
Constantly.
Right.
And I did dabble a little bit. I did freelance design.
Right.
You know, and I used to do freelance jobs online for Bitcoin, you know, just in my spare time. And then I've worked on various, you know, animation projects and iPhone games.
Wait, hold on.
Things like that.
Hold on, step back. So you did artwork online, freelance.
Yes.
Paid for by Bitcoin.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I did.
That's pretty brilliant.
And this is back before it was worth anything. So I look back on that now, and that was like $20,000, $30,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah, but that's awesome, but, dude. It's like
it was $100 at the time.
Definitely one thing I will tell you. You were not limited in a box of thinking back then, and you seem to not be still. And that is just genius. I mean, like, people are mining for Bitcoin.
Evan's
online basically freelancing art for Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. It's always been a hobby of mine.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
So okay. So what happens? And then you basically say, okay. I should ask you, how did you decide to go? I know your father's a fireman, but I mean, mm-hmm. how did you decide to pursue that path?
I had to make sure it was what I wanted to do. That was the most important thing.
Right.
You know, I had gotten so much nurturing and everything. Everything was great for both my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
Growing up,
both of them are really great. Yeah.
No, they're awesome. Yeah. It was amazing. But what I wanted to do is I needed to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. So I figured I'd try as much as I could.
So what did you try? I mean,
I waited tables. I tried my hand at construction and, you know, pizza delivery, restaurants, food industry. I was even an extra in Hollywood for a little while, you know, just working on movies and things like that in my spare time.
So what did you work on?
I did mortgages and loans for a good part of my life, you know, doing the wholesale thing.
So how long of a period of time are we talking about?
From high school on to, I don't know, maybe 22.
Okay.
Really good.
So a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years, 4 or 5 years.
Anything in Hollywood that actually aired?
Yeah. I was on Bones and CSI, New York and Miami and Weeds and all these other little TV shows.
Oh,
just a snippet hilarious. Of me walking around in the background there.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, my wife and my daughter make fun of me all the time.
Okay, I need those episodes.
I'll show you one day.
I'm going to binge on those, I think.
One day. Yeah.
Okay, and then so you tried your hand at different things.
Yeah, and then I settled on the fact that I couldn't live like that anymore. I couldn't live month to month. I couldn't live on commission checks. I couldn't live on the hustle and the grind. I wanted some stability in my life, and I really wanted to do something positive. And I was like, okay, I realized that these are all things that I don't want to do. I'm gonna try the fireman thing. I'm gonna try being a firefighter.
Right.
Give that a shot. And so I did. So I basically dropped everything I was doing. You know, fit everything I owned into my pickup truck. Got rid of the place I was living, and I just moved up north and went to a fire academy, and that started my whole journey of working on ambulances and things like that.
So let me ask you this, though, because did you have a hesitation or a resistance to that earlier on, and then you came to terms that maybe this is something you wanted mm-hmm. to do because of the – I mean, it's normal, right? I mean, you know, sons and fathers, right? Mm-hmm. Did you have that? Like, were you, I'm not going to do that. And then, you did. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You ever had that feeling when you're a teenager that I know better?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it right this time.
Oh, yeah. We all do.
Yeah. It doesn't work out.
Yeah. It turns out they knew actually something, right?
Yeah. It turns out I probably should have paid attention.
You
probably should have listened.
Hey, you and I are very similar that way.
But hey, I got to where I am now, so I wouldn't change it for the world.
Well, you know, and I think it's important to point out that just because you did not follow that sort of mm-hmm. this is wise. I should follow. I should listen. You know, there's value in the journey of taking your own journey and your own path, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you probably have a lot of sense of self today because of all that other stuff that you did. And you, like you said, you're going to try this out, but you're engaging with it from a different perspective. Like there's more of a commitment to what you're doing versus, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to do this.
100%.
Right. So where did you go for the academy?
I went up north to a little town called Yuba.
Okay.
I lived in Yuba City. A lot of people have driven through it if they've ever gone up to the northern states. But it was a place where I could go and I could accomplish, you know, the fire academy that I needed to go through and get my EMT, which were the foundation of getting a job in the fire service.
Right.
You know, I had to start there.
Right.
And then once I had those things accomplished, then I could start actually applying to jobs and I could actually have a shot, you know, and that's just bare bones requirement. So after I did that, I started working on an ambulance.
Did you go up north? I don't know. Did you go up north because it was easier to get into the academy up there versus down mm-hmm. here?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
down
cool.
here was just a little impacted. It was going to take me a little too long.
Longer. Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get it done. And
smart move. Yeah, I mean I figured that might have mm-hmm. been it, but that's cool, mm-hmm. and probably smaller academy.
That's
a good too.
Yeah, nice facilities. It's a little bit different. You know, less people around, so they had more staff. It was a good little spot. I was very, very happy with the level of service that was provided there.
Very
cool.
How long did it take you to do that?
That academy was 16 weeks.
No, okay.
Yeah, 16 weeks, and. There was about 23 of us that graduated there. So then I graduate the academy, and I have the firefighter academy I've done, and you know I've been trained up, you know, to basic standards,
mm-hmm.
and I have an EMT, which allows me to work on an ambulance and, you know, do the
emergency
basic
medical
stuff.
Medical technician, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. And so the next logical step for everybody on that path that I was following was just to get a job on an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I did, and I started working on an ambulance. And then after that, well, I'm testing and I'm applying constantly. Mm-hmm. My weekends are filled driving to San Francisco, Northern California, mm-hmm. Texas, wherever. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to put in an application and get a job. Because mm-hmm. that's really, truly the hardest part about it. It took me 5 years
to get a job.
Yeah, and this is the beginning of that 5 years.
Wow.
So after that, you know, working on an ambulance and
What is the reason for that, Evan? I mean, I would think that there would be a lot of need. Is it just budgets?
Sure, there's a lot of need, you know, but there aren't a lot of openings. It's a career path.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And openings pop up when people leave for other departments or retire.
Did your dad retire or not?
He retired, yeah. He retired.
How long was your dad in the service?
Just under 40 years.
Yeah, so it's definitely a career path for a lot of people, yeah.
Not a lot of turnover when you're working a job for 40 years.
Right.
So, and it's tough to get in. You have to understand what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really described to me. Like, I was aware of what you needed to do, you know, the interview process, the testing process. These are applications where if you have a spelling error or a grammatical error, they'll throw it in the trash mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking for people to pay attention to the detail, mm-hmm. you know.
Sure.
Had I known that throughout this process, the process actually changes who you are and makes you become what departments are looking for, you know, it would have helped a little bit. But, man, it was a challenging process, the backgrounds and the, you know,
so what were you doing in the period that you were trying to find a job in this? Were you working as an EMT?
Trying to get as much experience as I could.
Okay, good.
Work it as an EMT and trying to better myself.
Right.
You know, pad the resume so that I'm more desirable to a fire department. One of those things is paramedic school.
Right.
You know, so
just keep getting more qualifications.
Yeah.
And then where did you end up landing?
Well, I interned for a little while at a local fire department. I worked for Cal Fire for the state for a while. And then after that season ended, I enrolled in paramedic school. And that was a whole 9 months of just intense. Mm-hmm. That's it. It mm-hmm. was just intense. And it was rough. Learned a lot, though, and got to do a lot of cool things.
So how do you like it? I mean, you've been committed to this for a while. Mm-hmm. What surprised you about it? What have you been most enjoyable for you about it? I know. I'm going to guess that part of it is that, like, sort of doing good and leaving a positive mark is probably a big part of it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a tough question. It's a loaded question, more or less.
We tend to load questions on the show.
Sure, I get it.
But I know you can manage it. So.
When I grew up, I did all the stuff that, you know, I had every opportunity in the world at my disposal. I could have chosen anything, really,
much,
and gone after it.
Yeah.
I didn't have the ability to join. I didn't join the military when I was younger. I haven't done, the police or anything like that. I saw being a firefighter as a way to give back.
Did you have any inclination to do that, to join military or police department or anything like that?
Briefly at times, but it slipped through my fingers. You know, it was one of those things where just the timing wasn't there and it never happened. So I saw this, you know, first and foremost, it was a way for me, you know, more or less give back. You know, we don't always have the ability to directly give back to people in the area that you're working in.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. But being a firefighter, you're able to you're there.
Yeah.
You're there whenever something happens. Mm-hmm. Whenever something bad happens, firefighters are typically there. And so if I could play an effect, even just the smallest little bit, you know, mm-hmm. to help someone out, you know, I felt like I was doing my part. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I did more training and as I gained more experience, I really started to understand what the role they play is. Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like it then reinforces the fact that you're in it for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's definitely not just a paycheck,
right?
You know,
well, no, and a lot of fulfilling. I hate to use the word jobs, but pursuits. You know, that are really meaningful, they do have that reward factor that is not necessarily just dollars and cents. That mm-hmm. it's rewarding in different ways. And mm-hmm. those tend to be the things that are really meaningful because, obviously, the paycheck is very important, the stability is very important, all of those things. But in and of itself alone, it's kind of an empty reward.
Sure.
If you happen to be fortunate enough to be pursuing something that has that added layer, mm-hmm. of reward that feeds your soul, that, you know, makes you feel that, you know, you have a purpose, if you will, that affects positively other people, then I think you're very lucky and blessed to be in that job. And if you happen to like it.
No, absolutely. I'll tell you, the biggest thing for me is problem solving is what it comes down to. I like to solve problems. I like to figure things out.
Yeah.
I like to figure out how to make things work, how to make them better. And that's really what we are. We're problem solvers. We go out there when things don't go right and we fix the problem. Mm-hmm. Well, albeit temporarily most of the time, mm-hmm. But, you know, but that's what we're there to do. And I like that. It's challenging a lot of the times. We run into situations where it's like, oh.
What's the most challenging thing you've had to do to date?
Oh, there's all kinds of challenging stuff. You know, what's the most challenging thing is the frustrations that you run into. And I'm not talking about the people you work with, but when you go out and you pour your blood, sweat, and tears into helping somebody, mm-hmm. you do the absolute best that you can mm-hmm. for them. And despite anything that anyone has done for that person, whether it's the first responders or the hospital or their family, that they choose to ignore it all and they make the same decision. Mm-hmm. And then you're no longer able to help them again.
So how do you balance that out for you? Because, I mean, I totally get it. And it probably happens more often than not, right?
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And there's really not much you can do about it. You do the best you can when you're there, when you're faced with a given situation. But, you know, for the most part, it's just something you just take it on the chin. You know, but luckily
it's not personal. It's they're making the choice. You're just doing the best you can to educate them.
Yeah, you do your best. We always do your best, and if you always do your best, you'll sleep fine at night. You know, as long as you give everything 100% of your effort.
Okay, so I was just thinking while you were telling me that I was actually almost asking you questions like if you were standing in front of a classroom and saying, "Hey, so tell me what you do." Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, well, here's what I do. I'm a fireman. Sure. This is what I do, right? And then I realized that you got a couple of years, but you're going to be facing that when somebody, a little baby right now, basically, is in school and say,
"Hey, I know
it's Father's Day," and right. So, congrats, thanks. By the way. Okay, how old is the young one?
4 months old.
4 months old.
Yeah, as of 2 days ago. Yeah, 4 months old, and I'm tired, but I'm so happy.
What's the baby's
name? It's a crazy feeling to be so happy and so tired. His name is Rowan.
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 Why Rowan?
We liked it.
You liked Rowan?
Yeah, good we enough. Just liked it.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, we molded it over, cool. And then we said, Sarah looked at me and she goes, "Is this his name?" I think it is. She's like, "Okay, it's settled."
Were you looking at a bunch of names? Or?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's funny. We had a ton of names, great names for girls, but we had a boy.
Did you not want to know, or did you find out later?
Oh, no, we found out at the normal time, but, you know, just thinking about it and playing house beforehand.
Were you thinking you were going to end up with a girl?
Like, we were convinced, and it turned out to be a boy.
That's cool.
Yeah, so either way, now I have one of each, so I'm happy.
Yeah, so that's cool, man. Now, it's, so here you are, clear, pursuing this, doing good. How the heck did you end up with Scorch Marker?
That's a good question.
For anybody who's watching, we'll do a little close up later, or maybe I can do it right now. This is a box that Evan brought that has some blank wood pieces in it,
mm-hmm.
and this I'm going to just do this. So these are the Scorch Markers, and I'm going to take one out of the plastic bag right now, and I'll show you, and then I'll have him explain. So this is here it is. And it's sealed, so I will...
I have an open one right here.
I got it. I correct.
Okay.
So you can see that the tip is, you know, it's just, that's just a marker, right? And, yeah, so how the heck did you end up with this? And what the heck is this?
I'll tell you all about it. So first, let me tell you kind of what it is, and then I'll recap a little bit and tell you how it came about. So the Scorch Marker is a chemical wood-burning pen. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it is kind of weird because there's nothing like it that exists yet. You know, which is neat. So normally people would burn.
Yeah.
They'll heat up a tool like a soldering iron with a red hot tip on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just passes electrical current through it. They get hot. They can be messy. They get caught on the grain of the wood sometimes. There's a little bit of a steep learning curve. I know this because I tried it multiple times. So what this is
and
this
there,
is,
and there is a sort of a rigidness to it. Like in order to get it to it where it's very organic, it's really hard.
Oh yeah.
Right? Because you're literally using a hard-edged piece mm-hmm. to do whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's
like a hot knife.
Right? It's like a hot knife, right.
Yeah, yeah. And it can be challenging to get the curves and the flow and the things you want to do. That's why I give these pyrography artists, the people who do woodwork like this and artistry like this, is impressive. It's so impressive. So hard to do. You know, and by all means, we weren't trying to take away from that. We're just adding another tool out there for this. So this is cool. So what we have, instead of having a hot soldering iron or trying to burn wood with a hot knife, it's a marker. And inside the marker is a solution that I was able to develop. So you take the marker, you'll draw on the wood, and then you apply heat, whether it's from an open flame or a heat gun or what have you. And as you're doing so, the heat triggers a chemical reaction, and it burns the wood only where you've drawn with a marker.
And we're gonna do something on the air here today. But basically, if you are listening to the show, a couple of websites that you may want to check out is look for scorchmarker.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe you have a YouTube station too, right?
We have YouTube. Our Instagram, we showcase all of our customers' artwork. That's a great place to see what people are capable of just with a marker.
Yeah, and you have some little videos on Instagram and everywhere that mm-hmm. shows the kind of the process, right? Mm-hmm. And with this box, actually, there's a little
infographic.
Infographic like prep, shake, apply heat, keep, watch, and apply. And tell me about this box. Like, what's this packaging? Because something recently happened and you put this packaging together for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you develop this?
A year ago. Yeah, July a year ago, we sold our first marker.
What prompted you to develop it? Was it to go to market, or were you working on something where you just needed a solution, problem solver that you are?
It was a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So what was going on?
So I told you, we talked about this whole journey in the fire service and how right. rigorous. Well, I went through that first academy. And so finally, after 5 years of testing, I get 3 job offers in a week.
Yeah.
Right? So when it rains, it pours.
Uh-huh.
So the place that I chose is where I currently work. And in order to go through that hiring process, you know, you have the interview and the backgrounds and the investigations and all right. these things. And you have to jump through all these hoops. Well, then you have to go through what we call their tower.
Yeah.
So it's the department's version of their academy. And they teach you the way that they want you to perform, how they want you to perform, mm-hmm. the skills they want you to learn, and the standard that you're held to. It's right. where they lay everything out. Mm-hmm. This is where if this is your chance, you know, to go through and learn the way the department does things.
Right.
And if you don't, you don't have a job anymore.
Right.
So I went through that whole, you know, 16-week process with, you know, a bunch of other guys. Like-minded individuals, and 30-plus of us. And I was the woodworker of the class. You know, I had been woodworking. I had a little shop set up. And
right, because you were doing some woodworking before this,
I was,
right? Or
yeah.
during this period of time. Mm-hmm. Like furniture, tabletops, things of that nature?
Yeah, just fun hobbyist type of stuff.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying it. And so I volunteered to make the plaque. I wanted to commemorate the experience we went through.
Okay.
All the blood, sweat, and tears. And we wanted something lasting that would hang up on the wall. So I made this giant walnut 8 with some, you know, a Halligan, firefighting tools, and, you know, and axes behind it. All our names were engraved on glass and leatherwork with some badges and patches. But the most important thing I wanted to do is I really wanted to wood burn our motto in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something we came up with as a group.
What's the motto?
Together in, together out.
Okay.
You know, something we would chant every time they would call us to attention.
Right.
Or every time we were dismissed, et cetera. So I tried using that soldering iron that we talked about, and I couldn't get it. My handwriting wasn't good enough. I didn't trust myself just drawing it out on pencil. And you can't use a stencil because it's so hot, it will melt it.
Yeah.
So I had no way of really getting nice, fine lettering. Being a novice at wood burning.
Well, but that's the artist in you wanting it to be precise mm-hmm. to what your vision is.
I know. I hold my That's
no,
a whole
it's good. No, it's
story.
Good because
this is my own standard.
I see that I'm really happy because that same spark that you had when I first met you is still there. You're just finding other mediums to apply it to. I mean, you here you are, you know, 5 years trying to find a job, getting all the training you can. And you're still doing woodwork because it's a creative outlet.
Yeah, I just love
right?
it.
And, right, and you're loving it, and it feeds that part of your soul. And here we are faced with this with a problem, still insistent on delivering what you want. I mean, I remember how detailed those skulls were back then, right? They were pretty elaborate. I couldn't find those, but I found the lizard one. The lizard one was with all the leaves and the interlocking lizard. It was like, this is a pretty elaborate piece of work. And so here you are faced with a problem. Now I want this thing the way I want it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which anybody who knows you knows that aspect of you, right? It's like, 100%. This is what I want.
Yeah, it doesn't come as a shock.
It's not a shock. Yeah.
But luckily, my better half, Sarah, my wife, is she's amazing, and she's always fostered this growth in me. She's always given me the green light.
Shout out to Sarah.
You know, serious shout out to Sarah.
Yeah.
So she shows me this video one day of how cool this, you know, this stuff is, and I said, oh, that's pretty neat. So I thought that, you know, maybe I could do that too, and this would solve my problem. So I found out what chemicals I needed to combine to make it work.
So wait,
you know,
hold on
just
a second.
Get it to work.
So where did you get the idea of doing the chemicals?
Sarah showed me that it was possible.
From what? Like, how did she show
I don't. I honestly, I can't remember. It was a video somewhere. I don't remember the media outlet. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, so
but
she
it
found
was like
something.
This cool DIY thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so neat. you know, maybe I can figure that out too, and I can make it work for me.
Okay.
So we did some research, me and a buddy of mine, and we figured it out.
Well, and you have your professional training, mm-hmm. I'm sure, that had something to do with combustibles and how to deal with certain things and how things burn, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So here's this and this and this.
Mm-hmm. So it started, I mix it up in a jar. I used a paintbrush. I cut out some vinyl lettering on, you know, my stepmom's vinyl cutter. And I was able to get precise wood burn letters.
And right off the bat.
Right off the bat. And I was like, awesome. Cool. Mission accomplished. You know, dusting my hands off. We're done. And then, you know.
Wait a minute. The first mixture that you did worked?
Yeah, more or less.
More or less.
Yeah, it got the job done.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, perfect by any
means.
It got the job done.
But it achieved the sort of where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
100%.
All right.
And then I was thinking, you know, afterwards, fast forward a little bit, you know, what if I put it in a marker? You know, and I just.
Well, it gives you more control to apply, right?
Yeah, would it work? Would it sell? Could I do anything with it?
Right.
I mean, am I going to wood burn with it? I don't know. So I talked to Sarah about it.
The wheels started turning.
The wheels were turning.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And I talked to Sarah about it, and she was always green light. Go ahead, try it. See what happens. You know, always in my corner. Always having my back, which is always supporting me.
That's
awesome.
That's really awesome.
So I took $500, and I went online and I found some empty markers, and I started testing different markers. You know, I was going to say I'm going to spend $500 and see what I can do with it. You know, and I made a few prototypes. I designed a label on my computer. You know, printed it out on sticker paper. You know, I found the cheapest hosting I could get.
So did you design this logo?
And I didn't design this actual logo. The initial stuff, yeah. I did it all.
Okay.
You know, I found a cheap place I could host a website, and I learned how to build a website. I learned how to, you know, do all the artwork and the printing and all this and how to manufacture it in my house. And I did. I filled every single one of these initially with a 10cc syringe. Up until we started
that
selling hundreds.
That was a slow process, right?
Oh, my gosh. I built jigs in my wood shop to hold everything for me and like so I could just go through and assembly line it by myself. Since then, we moved on. But, yeah, we just wanted to sell one. I ended up putting in a marker, and I remember showing my prototype to my dad and the rest of the family when they came over. I said, hey, check it out. You know, this is a prototype. What do you think? And here we are today.
What did they think?
They were like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, everyone loved it. Everyone was super supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'll try selling them. So I decided to list them on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to sell one a week. That's all I wanted to do. And then we did. I said, okay, cool. Let's set another reasonable goal. You know, let's sell, you know, 10 in a month. And then we did. And then it just started picking up. And I started creating social media. And I started sending them away for free and exposing them to people and just really trying to get it out there and mm-hmm. see what would happen. And now, almost exactly a year later, you know, we're going into big box retail. We've had, you know, this little box was presented on Home Shopping Network mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago.
How many units did you sell when you were online, on air with Home Shopping?
The exact number, I don't know off the top of my head, but it was a couple thousand.
And how long were you on there?
We had 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Yeah, a couple thousand units in 8 minutes.
Yeah, we sold a couple thousand of these.
Yeah. I do want to say something. There are a couple of people I talked about about this about a year ago when I first like got wind of this.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
You remember this? I was like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. What are you up to here? Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember, and we talked about this, and there's one of them that I will still want to get a couple of pens to and see. But really, it's limitless. As far as I'm concerned, it's like a pencil. Literally. I mean, if you can draw a line, you can mark a piece of whatever it is that's, you know, usable material to burn.
100%.
To heat, right? And I also was blown away when I was looking at your website that, you know, we've got wood pieces here, right? And basically, I just mean to show, like, here's before, and Evan will go through, like, how he get to this, but here's a finished product, okay? Here's where it starts off. It really is applicable to paper and cardboard.
Yeah,
as well as wood.
It's funny
I asked you. I said, "How the heck do you not burn through paper when you basically apply this thing?" And you said it doesn't burn, but you need probably a thicker paper, right?
Yeah, thick paper works best. Yeah, but it reacts the chemical in the solution that we came up with, which is really cool because it's all non-toxic.
Right.
I could pop the cap off and drink it right now.
Right.
And it wouldn't do anything to me.
Right.
You know, it's all made out of ingredients that we use or ingest in normal day life, and so
it's safe for kids.
Cutting boards.
Safe for cutting boards, mm-hmm. anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right, because if you got a cutting board and you want to do something like that on it, and you can mm-hmm. then use it. So how long does it last to that point?
Oh, like, a really long time. You only have to use the tiniest bit.
No. like
The Woodburn?
Yeah, put a Woodburn on there, and I'm basically using it on a cutting board.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wipe it down, wipe the cutting board down, whatever. Does it stay? Or is...
Well, when you actually... It actually burns the wood. So there's truly...
So it's not a stain.
It's not a stain.
It's actual burn.
It's actually burning the wood fibers. So it's going to be deep enough to be permanent, yeah, but so it's also going to be shallow enough.
If it scrapes, you'll lose a little bit of the detail because you're really losing a little bit of the wood layer.
Yeah. Right. So you do literally have to sand it away to get it to be removed because it's burning. It burns down a couple layers.
Right. So for people who are looking, this is not a stain. It's an actual burn.
Yep. It really gives that burned look too, because burnt wood only looks a certain.
So I'm just I got to ask: is this a mustache?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Movember, here you go. Right.
Yeah.
okay, so that's really cool, and cardboard and paper, mm-hmm. and it's safe, mm-hmm. and it's if you ingest it, it's not necessary for the process is to eat it, but if you happen to mistakenly get it into it's safe.
Yeah.
All right, and. What kind of volume are you moving now?
Oh, thousands and thousands a month. You know, thousands of markers.
That's amazing, honestly. I mean, within less than a year. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those products, I don't know, I'm not taking away from it, by the way, okay, because I think this is really the truest of brilliance. It's one of those products where you go, somebody sees it, here's what the explanation is, and goes, how has this never been around?
You know, right?
Like, it's one of those things like, wait a minute, yeah, of course.
Right.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of the skill and the talent in the compound and the composition and having it be right. But it's like, wait a minute, how did somebody come up with this before?
I know. Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, we weren't trying to replace wood burning or do anything like that. It's just we had a problem,
right?
And we found a solution to it. And oh, look, it adds another layer to arts and crafts. That's cool. Because it just adds a whole other medium,
a layer to arts and craft with this, and I'm not taking away from wood burning either, by the way, mm-hmm. but this becomes as personalized as a person's own handwriting.
Yep.
Which wood burning, the old traditional way of wood burning, was not really easy to achieve. Like if you are a furniture maker, if you're an artist and you want to sign your pieces, mm-hmm. this literally is as simple as signing your pieces. And then applying heat, and boom, there you go. So, like, inside drawers of all those furniture pieces, you know, anybody who's working in a medium that doesn't currently is working in pastels or paints or acrylics or whatever, and basically wants to move to something like wood and doesn't want to be limited to just a surface application.
Right.
This actually gives them the ability to do that because let's talk about when you actually apply the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The more you apply the heat, if I understand correctly, it has a different effect, right? Like you get a darker burn out of it, right? So you even have control over a shading of the level of burn mm-hmm. on a piece with the same applicable material, right? You apply it all, and how you apply the heat also gives you another layer of finished product, right? Yeah.
So once you apply the liquid's applied. You don't have a whole lot of control.
How much time do you have before you have to apply the heat?
Or months.
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 Yeah. You could actually do something and then leave it and then basically find out what that is.
You could have a wedding messages. And have a guest book made out of wood uh-huh. and have all your guests do like secret hidden messages, go home, apply heat, and all those cool little messages
there
will be revealed.
There you go with the creative out of the box.
Like that's cool stuff.
Yeah, that's very cool.
You know, all the control comes in how you apply the heat.
Mm-hmm.
The more heat you apply, the darker the burn's going to become. So if you gradually heat, then you can create almost shading. You can create layers.
Okay, I got to interrupt you for a minute. This is the quietest I've ever heard Mr. Paul Roberts in 4.5 years. Honest to God, I have not had him not interject with one guest, okay? What is going on over there, Paul? I know you're not sleeping. You're not snoring. I
am just amazed. Can I relate this to something? You opened the door.
Relate away.
We had somebody in here yesterday who did something that blew me equally away, something so simple, so cool, and yet something nobody had ever thought of before, kind of like this. And I'll tell you what it is, and then
flattering.
I'll try the two together. He made, it's a company called Killer Concepts, and they make, if you've ever gone into Staples and see these little plastic things you stick on the back of your phone to make mm-hmm. them prop up,
mm-hmm. yeah,
rather than make it a button, he made it farm animals, pigs mostly. So the pig's face is sort of like there is no head, but the back of the pig, and then it's a little suction cup, and it sticks to the thing. And only reason I know this because my wife thinks they're the craziest things. They sell them at the checkout stand.
So you can have like a horse's ass on the back of your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And so I thought, what a cute, clever thing. Who would have come up with this thing? And lo and behold, it's somebody here in Orange County. He has sold 20 million of them. 20 wow. million of these little rubberized pigs behind and horses behinds and everything to stick on the phone. So I look at this and I have the same just awe reaction of somebody seeing something that nobody else saw, that everybody else would think, what? And turning it into something that is a whole new form of expression and a whole business built around it.
Yeah, I had another hidden reason or hidden agenda reason to having Evan on and from day one when I found out about this. And it's not because I'm really proud of him. I wanted to basically showcase this product and him. And, you know, the journey that he has taken so far to get to this point in his life, I can't wait to see what you do next. I always am like, what is he going to do next? But the other side of this is this. We live in a county, we live in a country where old thinking about economic engines is somewhat stagnant. Okay, we live in a county where basically everything is considered real estate development is the only way we're going to make money. Real estate development. Well, we're built out communities. We're saturated. Da da da. And we've got people like Evan, born and raised in San Clemente. I'm going to get on my high horse for a minute.
Go for it. Here's a soapbox for you.
Okay, thank you. Is it marked though?
Because, oh yeah.
Okay, good.
I got my name on it.
My man. Okay. So the we live in communities where we have this kind of innovative, out-of-the-box thinking, creativity. And we're so stuck in how we basically provide economic sustenance for those communities that we do not provide entrepreneurship institutions. We do not channel all that executive power of retirees that are living across on these communities, like in San Clemente, and bring it to bear to take something like this, okay? I'm going to say how many thousand. You told me, okay? Within a year and a half, you're selling 60,000 units a month, okay? That is a huge accomplishment, okay? That is a
mind-boggling
accomplishment, right?
Because think of all the people out there who have come up with some little gadget or
The guy in San Clemente came up with the locker room board, right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. The half skateboard?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. City council, business communities, get your heads out of your proverbial, you know what, okay?
And your pigs behind.
Your stickers and your pigs behind on the phone, right? And realize that you have this kind of energy and talent and support it. I will give a shout out for one town that is doing that today, and I am in awe of what they are doing. And a shout out to their mayor, Robert Garcia, and to the community and economic development. Long Beach is an amazing town right now. They are providing entrepreneurship mm-hmm. incubators. They are basically looking outside the box. And I think most people are just going, oh, wait, Long Beach, isn't that the place between Orange County and Los Angeles? And they are loving not being on radar like that because they're getting away with sure. all kinds of smart stuff, mm-hmm. right? Here is the kind of stuff. Paul just shared another one, okay, with that. Those are amazing micro-industries that could reinvent the economic engines of these communities. And another byproduct of that is somebody like Evan can now basically afford to live at the high cost of living in the town that he was born and raised in, rather than move to a more affordable location. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I don't know about you, but I think you wouldn't have a problem living in San Clemente.
Oh, I love San Clemente. It's right. just too expensive.
It's too expensive.
There. I had to move.
Right. You had to move. Yeah. It is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. We need to understand that we're losing this kind of talent when we don't provide the means, the support, the encouragement, real encouragement, affordable housing, things of that nature, because this is the future leadership of these communities. These are the people that have built-in reasons and affinities to those communities they were born and raised in. Okay, and I'm going to get off my high horse now, but this is what you miss out when you don't provide those. And this young man is killing it with this product, okay? That's an amazing product in its simplicity, and its far-reaching impact, not only in the arts and crafts community. I mean, I can probably think of a million things that you could do with this, okay? And if we sat down probably and had a little bit more caffeine, I probably could come up with more, right? But but it really is important to understand that this kind of thing could be happening in a garage. You know, Cupertino, they used to do these things, and it ended up being Apple and Microsoft and, you know, all these little companies,
little incubators,
right?
Incubators and think tanks.
Little incubators and think tanks.
Oh, yeah.
Incubators. Real estate economic engine is not the only thing that we have going for us. But yet, we got to actually have leadership that understands this and develops and incubates and supports this. That being said, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to burn some wood.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we are.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Hire.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple. It's powerful. And it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
All right, they're trying to reassemble here. They're trying to get all the stuff set they can do this here.
Okay, so I think you should do something on the wood. Freelance, freehand, whatever you want. And then give me the cardboard. You said it worked, right?
Yeah,
Let me mark it up, and then...
While you're setting this up, I'm going to tell you one more that came in here, just to give you an idea. People are saying...
Well, but Paul, hold on a second. But you told me something when we were off the air, right?
Yeah.
You said, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show everybody in a minute what I'm doing, but I'm keeping it as a surprise. But do you want to do one of these, Paul, or you're just going to talk?
No, I'll just talk. Okay. Why are you doing this?
So you said that you had some questions for Evan. You're like, I'm blown away.
Mm-hmm.
You're blown away what?
Humbled. Blown away that when somebody, an ordinary person, comes up with an extraordinary spark of creativity, 99% of us leave it there. Yeah, that would be kind of fun. That would be kind of cool. Yeah, I bet we could come up with something like that. A new fishing hook, a new thing to all these products you see in the catalogs, all the products you see kind of on Shark Tank. And so many of them go, yeah, I see, but that's not going to sell. Come on, that's not something anybody's going to do. And so we come up with all the negative reasons not to do this. Evan is not a chemical engineer.
No, by all means, no.
Evan is not have any experience in manufacturing or distributing products here. He doesn't have an MBA in business for accounting and for inventory control and cost controls and all the other things. We talk ourselves out. I'll bet you go any town in America and there's somebody like Evan with an idea that too often gives up without even trying. Now, let me give you another example of somebody that was just in here recently. A young woman from a small town, I think it's in Texas, but like rural, it's some rural place with a town of like a couple hundred people. And she's a coach for local sports teams, or high school. And she lost her wedding ring because she, every time she'd do sports, she'd take off her wedding ring. And, you know, she didn't want it to get damaged. And she'd set it somewhere. And she finally realized she set it somewhere and she couldn't find it. I think it fell off in a field or something somewhere. She was doing, I don't know, soccer or something. So she came up with what seemed like a simple little answer, a cute little latch, a little plastic thing that you could hook onto your belt or some carabiner or however you say that word.
Carabiner
that hooks onto your belt or something. And she made it kind of clever and cute and attractive. And it's supposed to protect your small jewelry on the go. And it's called Lion Latch. And she came up with a little prototype for this, and everybody laughed and said, "You're in a small town in the middle of nowhere. You have no ability to sell this to anybody. Give up." And she persisted, and she spent it like Evan, put a little money into it and got a little prototype and looked on the internet how to prototype something and how to get a couple made, and she was persistent and went after for year and year and year. She finally got it on like Home Shopping Network through that kind of persistence, the same way he did. And sold thousands of these things. And now she's made a business in the middle of nowhere. So all the middle of nowhere is that is complaining, we've lost our factories, we're angry at the two coasts, you've capitalized on all the entrepreneurship and the venture capital dollars, we can't do it here. You can do this anywhere.
Evan, what's a normal pack of these? Is it one, two units, three units? How do you sell this?
We sell a couple different ways. We sell a one pack, two pack, three pack, and a five pack.
And how much is the price point on it as far as markers like retail?
If you want to just try one, you can spend $14.99 on Amazon, and you can grab one and try it. And you know, if you don't like it, send it back.
I may throw out an idea.
If you don't like it, send it back.
Yep. You don't like it, not happy, send it back. We'll refund you, and you get to keep it. It's no questions asked.
And yeah. So that's. I mean that's. And your growth, I mean, exponential growth is ridiculous, man. In 1 year, I mean, it's really awesome. It's very awe-inspiring, to be honest.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Can I throw it? It's overwhelming?
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Well, that's capacity, right? And you said to me, if I knew back then what I know now about going to retail, you would have probably like slowed it down a little bit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But here's the thing. I would venture that if you asked anybody who has had a success with an item, okay, like this, is that you don't get to pick that. You don't get to choose that because
I think you're right.
Yeah, because when it happens, you just basically, you know, hang on and buckle up because you're just going to have to take that ride. There's no way that you really can anticipate if something catches.
Now,
right?
Is this going to be in some big box retailers? And are we allowed to say which ones?
Evan?
Yeah. We just, this week we shipped to Michaels. We're going to be in all
that
Michaels
the
across
logical one,
California, right? United States and Canada. Every single Michael's is about 1,300 stores.
How do you even find out who the buyer is and then get his or her attention?
You know what's funny is throughout this entire process of this entire product and this company, I haven't reached out to a single person.
They've reached out to you.
Yeah. A lady found me on Facebook.
Yep.
And asked if I had a rep, and I said, no, I haven't. She said, would you like to be in stores? You know, can I help you? Sure. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, there's where we are.
Wow.
You know, shout out to Chris for making that happen.
Yeah, you've done really good getting the word out. And I think what's interesting is that the minute you see this, the minute you're exposed to what it does, it's one of those things that you almost want to share immediately with people.
It's fun.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. It's so easy. It doesn't require
any
technical.
Now, there's no danger. What if I put this on my hand and heated up my hand? Would it burn my hand or my clothing? Would it do the same thing on?
It's a good question.
The heat source will make you pull your hand away long before anything in the marker will.
Okay.
But the marker is completely non-toxic. You can get it on your skin. Just rinse it off with water.
Here, give me your hand. Let me
sign it. No.
The worst thing that'll happen is there's a little bit of red dye in the solution, so it might stain your clothing or your hands.
Well, I'm thinking of kids.
A little bit.
But it'll wash off.
Put this off.
It's all water soluble.
So what if my grandson puts it on the carpet, puts it on the furniture, whatever, and I don't see that he does this, and then something, I don't know.
Well, as long as
there's no heat.
As long as you don't apply heat, then it's just sitting there, right?
Yep. It only reacts with wood. So you could apply it to leather or stone or whatever,
it,
and it's
right.
not going to react. It has to come in contact with the cellulose that's in the wood.
Or paper or cardboard.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what it is. It's the cellulose.
Wood or wood products.
Yeah.
And does
not bad for not a chemical engineer, huh?
Does it go away after a while if I put it on the wood and don't treat it within a day, a week, a year or something? Does it disappear?
I've left it a couple months to do some experiments, and it still works just fine. I just recommend heating it right away so you don't forget about it or it doesn't have a chance to get smeared.
So somehow it gets absorbed into the wood and stays there. It doesn't dry up or disappear. And
mm-hmm.
then that somehow, that chemical interaction, when you combine heat with it, causes some sort of chemical reaction.
Yep.
Okay, so.
That's exactly right.
So you did your thing?
Yeah, I'll show the camera. It's a snowflake.
You did a stencil, right? So you applied this, you put the stencil on top of it. Where's your other stencils?
Oh, I have a couple.
Let's just show them the stencils. So you just literally...
I have a lot of stencils like these. I just printed out just to for ease
now,
of use.
I'm lost. How does this stencil? You lay the stencil on it and then you draw
it. You just put the stencil on there and then
I'm using a stencil so I don't have to rely on pure artistic talent on live radio.
But you draw over the stencil so it goes through the stencil.
Yeah, I just applied the marker on the stencil where I wanted it to be. This would be just a little snowflake cut out.
Right, and I did it on cardboard, and we'll see how well it will work. This is the backside of the cardboard.
Yeah, I'm going to peel my stencil off
Peel your stencil off.
Oh, I see.
And just when you start to peel, let's show what we're dealing with.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I'm just peeling off. This is just a vinyl stencil.
Yeah.
I print everything out on my Cricut machine at home with removable vinyl.
I don't know what a Cricut machine is.
It's a vinyl cutter.
Well, I would think that even like a stencil with cutouts in it, you could use that as well, right?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. So this is just a vinyl stencil.
I see. So
stencil.
It has an open spot where
the stuff goes, right?
Yeah.
Basically, where the gap is where the thing is going. So it's more
liquid,
controlled lines.
Right.
What I did is I actually literally took an image that I printed. We'll see how well it turns out, and I printed it out on paper. And then I literally just did what we would normally do in school, you know, when we're cheap. And I basically I borrowed a pencil from Mr. Paul Roberts when I walked in here. And I ran just like some graphite, basically, on the back piece of paper, just ran the pencil on it. And then I turned it and I used it to trace onto the cardboard. And then I went over and applied the marker on my trace lines on the cardboard.
That's smart. I would have never thought of that one. You got another business, parallel business in this.
Well, you've never this thing done this
no,
thing.
No, never.
Yeah, when we were too poor to have tracing paper, not like you people in Rancho Santa Margarita that have all of the resources. But you know, down by the coast, we had to be resourceful.
That's right.
You know?
All right. So I'm going to show this to the camera. You can see the red lines where I drew with the marker.
Yeah, you can see this on the wood. See it?
Oh, it's too bright.
Turn around.
No,
it's too bright. Probably.
Too bright. Yeah.
Bring it closer to the camera.
Too
maybe
bright.
Away from the.
That's washing it out. It's too bright.
Yeah. Anyway, so the stencil that he just showed you, I can see it. It's got markings on it, maybe from back out here.
Slightly
can you see it a little bit? Yeah. So you can kind of see it.
You can see it in real life.
You can see it right there?
Yeah. That's better. Yeah.
Yeah. So so go ahead and turn on your heater.
All right. It's going to be it's a little loud, but I'm going to put it on top of this so we can heat it up here.
Okay.
Move it over closer to the wall. Yeah, you're off the screen there. There you go.
Here, I'll hold it.
You gonna hold it for me?
Yeah. Can you kind of see?
Yeah. Oh, good. All right. The brand logo and everything.
Yeah.
Wait.
Here you go.
Will that work?
Yeah.
Okay. We just don't want to get our fingers near it. This thing gets pretty hot. Might be a little noisy too.
That's all right.
It's okay.
He once had me do a massage. Now you're gonna blow my hair or something.
Sounds like it, right?
I'm not. No.
This is just a standard heat gun I bought off Amazon. I just tell everyone just go to Harbor Freight. $10 or less, you can pick up a heat gun. So I don't know if you can see it, Paul.
I can see it, Paul. But take a look; it's changing.
Yeah, it's wherever I.
And the longer you hold it, the more burn it is.
The darker it gets.
Yeah. Anybody who's accidentally burned an iron mark on your shirt because you've left the iron too long.
I did that.
You know that scorched look. That's kind of the coloration this is. But the longer Evan keeps it, the And it's actually, you see where I'm holding it. It's actually, I mean, he's got the gun nozzle pretty close to the pattern. I feel a little heat, but I'm just trying to keep it from falling. Okay, so now let's show people. Can
it
you see
smells
that?
Like, it smells like it burned. I can smell
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can smell the actual
oh, yeah,
wood
for
burning.
For sure. It's a burn. It's not a stencil. It's not a mark. It's not a decal. It's actually a burn. And is it cold enough, you think?
It's still going to be pretty warm.
Let me see. So yeah, I'm just rubbing my hand against it so you
Let
can
me see.
See.
I like
see,
that. Not, I like that philosophy. It's probably too warm. He tries to touch
but
it. Anyway.
No, it's okay. But well, I have lost all sense of in my fingers a long time ago. But here's the thing. It actually is not going away. Is what I'm trying to show you.
And what's the Goopies mixing now? Here?
This is this great little company makes a natural oil and wax finish. And so I'm just mixing it up because
Let's
I like
a shout out to
I like
company.
To apply
I
apply
really
finish.
Like this.
Yeah, this is a great company. I found them on Instagram. It's called Odie's Oil, and for so many years
how
I've been finishing.
How do you spell that?
It's O D I E S.
Odie's Oil. We're gonna give them a little shout out.
Odie's Oil.
And this is what just to put a finish on it or something, or coating to protect
it. Yeah, there's so many caustic chemicals we're exposed to all the time. These guys, made an oil wax combo that works on concrete, wood, all kinds of finished surfaces, and it seals, protects, and really makes your
indoor and outdoor
pop.
It says on the bottle too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this stuff's great, man. I love this company. I love the guys that run it. The guys and girls over there are fantastic, and so I've been a customer ever since I found it.
Let me give you another one.
Well, let me have your heat gun while you're doing that.
While you're doing that, I'll remind you, we had somebody else on another one of our shows.
See if I either burn down the studio with this cardboard or actually...
Yeah. Click it on high, so it's the second. It's two clicks up.
So we had somebody else come in, and they made a business, I've forgotten the name of the business, out of making a polypropylene,
plastic. Hold on a second, Paul. So here's my cardboard, and I'm going to just apply the heat to the cardboard.
Yep.
Okay.
So while we're waiting, I'll just tell you quickly. This guy, polypropylene, a little plastic, liquid plastic, he puts on baseball shoes and athletic shoes because they get scuffed and marked, and you drag them along when you're sliding, and the shoes wear out. This just covers that. It's still that thing. He's made a multi-million dollar business out of it.
That's a happy story. Yeah. Good for him.
I can definitely smell it.
Yeah, you kind of have to be, you have to heat it hot and fast. You know, get it nice and close up, get that reaction.
I am. It's doing it.
It is? It's working for you? Great.
Yeah, see?
Oh, very nice.
What's amazing is we have 500 lights and cameras and electronics in this room, and I thought when you turn that on, we're going to blow it, but this is a good sign.
Hey, Paul, check this out.
I can't see it. Turn it on the other way. Unbelievable.
See how that design popped when I put the finish on there, Paul?
So why wouldn't every senior center in America offer this as an arts and crafts thing?
No one knows about us yet. We're still so small.
You think we know some senior centers, Paul? We could probably...
Yeah, right. Looking to do creative sorts of, rather than, I don't know, needlepoint or all the other things they're trying to teach. Nothing around needlepoint, I guess, or any of these other pastimes, but... Okay. Because you can be an art. That's my problem. You said draw. I can't draw a stick person with even making it look good.
Right.
So I would.
Okay, I didn't apply my marker well enough. This was the first time of using the marker. Okay, so here's. I want you guys to see. This is cardboard.
Just right guy pulled it out of
this. This is cardboard. Okay, see how thin this cardboard is? Do you see anything back here?
No.
Nothing. Zero, right? Okay. Now, here's what I basically did and what I didn't want to show you, because what I did is I actually used this image.
A complicated image of a fire.
Well, in commemoration of 9/11 for today. Okay.
So and you just put like...
I literally took this...
And put pencil
put charcoal
on
the back side of it, applied it to the cardboard, and then used a pencil to trace whatever it is I wanted. And that left a mark on for me like to follow, a trace line for me to follow.
The pencil.
And then when I used the marker to do that... I then applied the heat, and you saw how long it had sat there before, like Evan did his before.
Yeah.
I was done. This is cardboard. I was concerned that it was going to absorb and dissipate and not really be there. And this is what happened when I applied the heat.
Unbelievable.
I worked hard to get it to not dissipate and bleed.
It didn't bleed.
Lot of chemical engineering went in.
So shout out for everybody and first responders and firemen and EMTs and emergency people that basically, you know, 9/11 was 18 years ago.
As we do this show on 9/11, you've got a firefighter in here to talk about how he came up with a creative spark and turned it into a business.
So I thought it was appropriate to come up with something like this, but I wanted you guys to see that, and I couldn't believe, I'm like, come on,
so
Evan,
somehow
cardboard and paper, this is burned.
Somehow you've tied
about?
This all together. You've tied together entrepreneurship, you've tied together you can do it, you've tied together the makers movement where people are starting to make things again on their own, and you've turned it into a memorial for 9/11 with a firefighter
as well.
Well,
that's why it's the red light.
Full circle. Oh, wow.
Right?
Yep. Look at the snowflake. I just want to show you with some finish on it.
Some finish. Let me see how it turned out. Oh, that's awesome, dude. And you could see the finish on the wood, too, the rest of it from that. That's really, really great. So, again, anybody who's interested, I mean, the holidays are coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Let me give you a coupon code. TRYIT19. If you use that on our website,
TRYIT19?
You can get 15% off, yeah.
TRYIT19. And, again, the website is scorchmarker, just like it sounds, .com. Check them out on Instagram. Check them out on YouTube. Really fun little projects, arts and crafts. You're wondering what to do with these kids now that they're back, basically back in school. and you get your life back while they're in school, but then they come back home at the end of the day and want to keep them busy with something. So here's a healthy, non-toxic, even if they, you know, start chewing on this thing, they'll be okay.
They'll be all right.
Right. Evan, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Really. It was a lot of good time, right? And check him out. Really, I couldn't be more proud of this guy. This is an awesome product. I can't wait to see where it goes. It's already just blowing up. And anybody that you know who's an artist, hand them one of these. In fact, I'll tell you something, okay? Anybody who contacts me, the first five people to contact me, six people, because I get three of these per pack.
Oh, you have more.
How many do I have?
At least 15.
15.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe 10.
Well,
say 10.
Well, I'm keeping five to myself.
Okay.
Okay. But and I can get more. But
yeah.
For the first 10 people that contact me, once you have seen this, whether it's live, tomorrow, whatever, right? I'm going to have 10 markers that I will send out to you. The only thing I ask is that once you use them creatively, and I really want artists, a lot of people that know me, there are a bunch of artists, fine artists, whatever. I want to see what you guys come up with. I'm challenging you. Cardboard, paper, wood. You can do it all.
Yeah.
All three, you know, mixed media, whatever you 100%. Want to do, right? And I want you, the one thing I will ask, I'll give you one or two of these. If you need more for whatever scale that you're working on, we'll provide that. But I want you to share that with us. Make sure you tag Scorch Marker, The Rad Life, dazzle me. And with that, I'll say goodbye for this week, and we'll see you next week with more exciting guests on The Rad Life. Evan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.